Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 430, The Power of a Small Beginning. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, July 27th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. Tanya was being practical, and Sunday, Pastor Harley gave a very practical message, so I'm going to try to follow in those same steps of being practical today. We need practicality, don't we? We can be all up here in the nubes, in the clouds. It's a Spanish word, vocabulary, los nubes, the clouds. And, you know, this awesome revelation, and that's good, and we need that, and we need revelation. But then, like, what does that look like in your life today? Tomorrow, the next day, like, we have to put it into practice in our lives, because otherwise we just get a big head with, and we're floating in the clouds, right? And we're not really, we turn into hypocrites, because we could say we have all this great revelation or spout off things, but we're not living it. We're not walking it out. You can't see it in my life. And so it's so important for us to practice practicing the word, right? Discipline. To, discipline ourselves. We need some discipline, don't we? We need a little crack of the whip to walk out the word of God. We want, and you know what? That is so powerful and effective in our lives when, don't get me wrong, preaching the gospel, we need to preach words and tell somebody Jesus died on the cross for you. He's not mad at you. But you can also preach with your life, because you're living the word. They can see it act, you know, they can see it before their eyes, how you carry yourselves, how you respond when, you know, your children see how you respond when you're cut off in traffic. Your coworkers see how you respond when whatever situations happen at work. And are we living the word when things are hard and things are tough, and, you know, when somebody offends you or whatever? We need to just practice the word, and that will speak volumes to those believers, and especially non-believers, because we want to be like Jesus. We want to talk like him and walk like him and choose like him and love like him. And the way we will do it is by following this manual and one step at a time, living out the word of God. And so we're going to attempt to break that down and be practical today. And, you know, God is a big God, right? He's the creator of the universe. He's amazing. You think of, like, the greatness of God, the majesty of God. When I say even the word majesty, it paints a picture of, like, big, vast, right? There's no limit to him. He created this big world, this big universe. And yet, for all of his bigness, is that a word? I don't know. For all of his, let's just say, bigness, God has a remarkable love and a value for the small, the small start, the small beginning. He doesn't demand, don't you love this, that God doesn't demand that when you start something, like the first day that you, let's say, go to learn how to ride a bike, that you do it perfectly, that you, you know, let's say he puts starting a ministry on your heart, day one. Well, where's the ministry? I'm so glad that it doesn't, he doesn't demand that bigness of us. And so we're going to talk about the power of a small beginning today and how important that is. And because he doesn't put pressure on us. He just wants you to start. He wants you to do the thing that he told you to do. Take the first step. Maybe you don't know you're starting a ministry, but you're doing, he says, pack a lunch and go out and I'll show you who to give it to. And you go minister to a homeless person. And he says, do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day. And he leads you into a ministry that way. You didn't know that you were starting a ministry, right? But he was birthing something in you, and always out of obedience comes blessing, and it comes strength, and it comes becomes something much bigger than what it started as. It started as pack a little lunch and go out, and I'll show you who to minister to. That's a small start, right? It's one day, one little action, one act of obedience of you listening to God's voice. That's just an example, but what God wants to do in our lives, starting with just one baby step or one small beginning at a time, like one small spark at a time, is huge, and the possibilities are endless. And so let's dive into this, because he wants us to walk in victory, and we get that victory doing one small act of obedience, hearing his voice one step at a time. You can knock down a mountain one step at a time. Praise the Lord. That gets me excited. I don't know if that gets anyone else excited, but gets me excited. It'd be great to just be able to knock down the mountain all one swift, foul swoop, right? But maybe it doesn't always happen that way. Maybe he wants to create in us faithfulness and obedience of do this little thing that I tell you, okay? And so let's go to the Word. What else do we have to guide us but the Word? So in the book of Zechariah, he's a minor prophet. We don't maybe talk about him a whole lot. He was used to encourage the people of God when the exiles, the captives, came out of captivity after being there in Babylon for 70 years. God used Zechariah to encourage the people of God for the rebuilding of the second temple that was under the leadership of, help me say it correctly, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. Okay, we got it. And so the exiles had returned to Israel after the 70 years of captivity, and there's the rebuilding of the temple. And remember, the first temple that Solomon had built was glorious, right? It was glorious, it was enormous, it was fantastic. So here, at the rebuilding of the second temple, Israel's in ruins, right? The elders who had remembered the first temple were having a struggle in their heart, and they were weeping because in comparison to Solomon's temple, this new sanctuary seemed too small to them. It seemed too humble. It seemed like not enough. And so their dreams of their kingdom being restored to its former glory were kind of being dashed to pieces. They didn't see that. And they were just discouraged and disappointed. So let's look at Zechariah 4, because this is where he steps in then. Zechariah, God uses him to speak encouragement to the people, to this group, specifically the elders that had remembered the glory of the former temple and that were like in despair, that saying it's not good. It's too small. It's too humble. It's not enough. So Zechariah 4, verse 10, it says, "Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple." Now the Lord put him in charge of laying the foundation, right? For the second time, this rebuilding. "And he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." Okay, we'll just stop there, and you can read on more. It was quite fascinating to keep reading on all of the book of Zechariah and the different dreams and visions that God gives him and how it lays out here as the rebuilding is happening. But while the elders, what this tells me when I read this, the elders of Israel were weeping. They were discouraged. They were in despair, right, over this day of small beginnings, because it didn't measure up when they thought about and they compared this new rebuilding of the temple to the old, to Solomon's temple. But what this tells me is that God didn't feel that way. God wasn't weeping over this new rebuilding, because it says the Lord rejoices. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know what? He just wants us to begin. I had a roommate when I lived in Arizona that had a little plaque on her wall, and I loved it. And it said, "Begin. The rest is easy." He just wants us to begin. And God is rejoicing. He's rejoicing over us when we start something and then start it the next day and then start it the next day and start it the next day. Begin. The rest is easy, right? Sometimes we like, you know, you could apply that to like, you know, turning over a new leaf, like a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight, and here comes January 1st, and I'm going to go to the gym, if the gym's open on January 1st, or I'm going to, you know, do something in my home. Okay, January 2nd, when the gym opens, I'm gonna go, and I'm going to do this. And it's like, even getting out of the house, like working yourself up, it's like this whole thing, right, when you're trying to start something new. And begin. Just begin. Just get there. The rest is easy. When you get there, okay, you put one foot in front of the other. Praise the Lord. Begin. The rest is easy. So while they were thinking this is terrible and they're weeping over the small start of this rebuilding of the temple, God, the God of Israel, is rejoicing. That's like a mind shift for them, right? He's rejoicing to see that they've begun the work, and that proof that the work was begun was that the plumb line was in Zerubbabel's hand. So the plumb line, I forget what the other versions say. What does your Bible say, if anyone who's looking at their Bible? There's another word. It's not plumb line. There's another word that some versions use. But anyways, the plumb line was an architectural tool that, oh, somebody help me. It like falls straight and it I'm so not a construction builder. It makes sure that everything is wrecked. Like now we use a level. Thank you. I'm picturing the little thing that I see my husband using when he's hanging a picture with the bubble and you got to get it right in there. It's a level. So the plumb line falls exactly straight, and without that, your foundation is going to be crooked, right? It's going to be off. And so it's important. Praise the Lord. What? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. So he rejoices to see the work begin. He doesn't mind that it might not look like much, because he's guiding us. He's leading us. He knows what his dream in the dream that he has for us in our heart, but he wants us to start. Hey, that rhymed. Our expectations for the big right away hinder us sometimes, don't they? We want to microwave it. We want, okay, I'm starting ministry. Let's have this glorious big thing. And maybe it's going to evolve. Maybe you start with one small step of what he speaks to you, or anything, you know, getting healthy. Things don't happen overnight. We've got to do one small step over and over and over. We've got to put it on repeat. And so let's not hinder ourselves in our thinking by thinking, this isn't good enough, or I'm not doing enough, or, you know, I don't see any changes. Keep going. Keep plowing. Keep pushing the plow. Keep doing what he told you to do. He doesn't demand that we start to have this big, impressive thing, or that we lose 50 pounds in 1 week. That wouldn't be healthy anyway, right? I mean, there's a way to do things. So that whether we're talking physical things like losing weight, or we're talking about spiritual things, creating a prayer life. That was one of the things that Pastor mentioned last week about gap fillers. Like getting the walls around our life built up so that we're strong, right? And one of the things that he talked about was building walls of our prayer life. And so if that's your goal, it's something that I'm working on, you know, you might not, you're probably not going to start with 4 hours. Or if you do, then us as humans, like, we want to go, and this is how it hinders us, because we become really inconsistent, because we're like, you know, it's like the New Year's resolution thing that, like, I'm going to pray for 4 hours. And you do that one day. You might even do that 2 days. You might even do it for a week. Praise God. But then what happens, you know, let's say you start this in January. How are you doing in February? You're not praying at all, right? So we drop off because we set the goal, we set the bar for ourselves way too high. And you can't go from, you know, zero praying to 4 hours. I mean, maybe you can, but can you sustain? Thank you. Can you sustain that? And so do what makes sense, right? Do what makes sense. Do a small thing. If it's 10 minutes, you do 10 minutes. But do that every day. Do that every day. And then, hey, 10 minutes, I didn't even realize it turned into 20 minutes. It turned into an hour, right? And you build over time. Let's be logical, right? And let's do things that we want to set ourselves up for success, for not failure. Right? And that's one way to do it, to set ourselves up for failure when we have the bar way too high and we don't measure up. And then we do this back and forth thing, and we become very inconsistent. So don't be tempted to think like, well, if God were really in this, what I'm doing, this endeavor, then things would be bigger by now. It would look more glorious by now. It would whatever. That's just limited thinking, right? That's not going to help us. I think of pastors and the ministry that God has birthed in their hearts, and they could be discouraged on a day like today. Right? Seeing, well, things should be bigger by now. But what life is happening here? What life is coming out of what has been started here? Right? And so I hope this message encourages you as well today. Praise the Lord. Like, we limit and restrict ourselves so that, like, we won't grow or develop until you can be satisfied with the least thing that God has called you to do and be faithful to those least things. So God has you, I don't know, doing something that doesn't seem so glorious, scrubbing toilets or something. Be satisfied with what you're doing. We read, it was in Colossians 3, right, Pastor Don, this morning, about whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it with excellence for the Lord, with a heart to serve him, to bring him honor, no matter what it looks like, no matter how glorious or not, or insignificant the world may deem that particular thing is. Let's do it as unto the Lord and do it with your whole heart and do it to just be pleased with what he's having you do. And that, hey, I obeyed. You can be pleased in that. Thank you, God. Thank you for the grace that I have to do this thing and to do it without grumbling and complaining. Because like in this story that we're talking about with Zechariah, God has rescued his people. God was with them. He had brought them back. They were in freedom now, but they were still under this oppression of, well, it's got to be huge, it's got to be big, and it's got to be great. And they were limiting themselves by that mindset, right? They were limiting, restricting themselves. And, I mean, they could have limited totally, done something that just made them fall off and that God's plan wouldn't have even come to pass. Now, thank God, God brought Zechariah and they had Zerubbabel to lead them and Zechariah to speak the word of God and encourage them that they would prosper even through this day of small beginnings, even through this thing that didn't look very glorious. And what we can take away from this, from Zechariah, if we are genuinely, from the heart, faithful to do what he's called us to do and be faithful in these small things, then our small obedience will become big. It will grow. It will be like a snowball that grows and collects as it goes down the hill. Not usually right away, and not sometimes in the ways that we expect it to. But he'll surprise you, and he'll grow things as long as you stay faithful, as long as we stay faithful. Okay, so here's some other proof in the Bible. You can see this all over the place if you think about it. What are some proof in the Bible, stories or situations or people that you can think of that started small? We're a small group today. Do you want to have some interaction? Who can, like, teacher style, classroom style, raise your hand, tell me what was something that you see in the Bible that started really small? Christ's ministry. Good. I have that written on my paper. Yes, it started with Jesus himself, right? It started with a few guys, 12 guys around him, the closest ones. And we today wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Jesus and his method of making disciples. What started very small, you know, just with a couple of guys, ragtag group that had no qualifications, they weren't the religious scholars of the day. It looked very, you know, Peter with a hot head and, you know, doubting Thomas and all these guys that seem less than perfect, less than glorious. And today we have the body of Christ around the world. And that started really small, right? And Jesus kept pouring into them. Somebody else in the back had, yeah, go ahead. Two copper coins. Okay, that's a good one. The woman that gave the offering of two copper coins, right? Praise God. That was a small start. That was her, what she had. It was that the woman who, that was like all of her, what she had, right? And so for her, that was more than small. But for the world or people watching that, that looked small. That was her everything. And that showed her heart, her devotion to Christ. Praise the Lord. I hope that lady, I bet she did get super blessed. I'd like to have a sit down with her in heaven and say, what happened after that? You know, what happened after you gave everything? Because I don't know. I don't see. It's not there. It's not written there. But tell me what happened. How did God bless you? How did he prosper you after that? One other one. Anyone else? Tanya? Beginning of Moses' ministry. Okay, tell me more.
He was just all by himself. And he said, you're going to go and you're going to lead the people. And he said, well, who am I?
Who?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And he ended up leading the whole nation.
Yes. And you know what? That's a really good point because it brings out something else too. Like, we think of ourselves as really small. Like Moses, you know, kind of had this insecurity thing going on and like, well, who am I? I can't talk. I can't, you know, I'm not qualified. I can't do this. And sometimes we think we limit and we restrict ourselves because of that small thinking about, well, I'm just too small. I'm just too insignificant. And when God calls, like he called Moses, then he anointed Moses and he was with Moses and he backed him up and he led the whole nation, right? Praise the Lord. That's a really good example. Praise the Lord. How about growing the people of Israel, the Jewish people, out of one old man and his barren wife? That was a humble beginning, right? Right? Abraham and Sarah, I mean, they were in upper years. You know the story. She was barren, but God gave them a promise, you know, that they're going to have descendants and it's going to be huge. It's going to be something big. And they're not seeing that, right? Wow. That was something. Deuteronomy 7:7 says, The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you. This is speaking to Moses, I believe. And the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. So Israel started very small, right? The calling on their life, though, God's heart was something big, but it started small. Praise the Lord. Another small thing that we see in the word is the mustard seed. The mustard seed is mentioned a few different times. You know, the parable it just talks about the mustard seed. I don't know if it's a parable. Anyways, Matthew 13, let's look at this. He's making here an illustration of what the kingdom of God looks like or could look like. So Matthew 13, 31 through 32. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make its nest in its branches. Never underestimate the day of small beginnings. Here's my mustard seed. Can you see it? It's in my thumb. Now, I had thought about giving us all mustard seeds, and maybe we'll do something at the end. But we're going to be very careful, Sister Rivka, who was cleaning the floors in here yesterday, because I imagined me, like, you know, trying to dump one seed into everybody's hand and like, how does that work? It's so tiny, you almost can't pick it up. They're so small, so tiny. We should play a game. Guess how many, you get a prize if you guess how many are in here. The bigger prize should be for the person who counts and gets the real number, right? Like probably, I was looking at this back there and going, thousands. There's probably thousands in here of mustard seeds. It's a small start. It's a small beginning. But he says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in other words, is like a mustard seed planted in a field. Now, we've talked a lot this year about seeds being planted, have we not? The seed is the incorruptible, or the word is the incorruptible seed. I said that wrong. The word is the incorruptible. It's the incorruptible seed of the word. That's how I have it in my head. And when it's planted into good soil, which is our heart, then it produces a harvest. It's going to produce something. So when we meditate on the word of God that starts really small, it's just words written on a page, we plant it into our heart, we meditate on it, we get revelation, it comes alive in our heart, it grows and it produces fruit in our lives that we can apply and practice and live out, and that's fruit, and fruit that remains in our life. And it all started by just planting that one tiny seed in a field. And so we should just never underestimate the power of a seed. And so that's what we're talking about today. A small start is a seed of something. It's potential in itself, right? But we've got to do something with it. If I just kept this seed, I have a few seeds here, in the baggie, here's so you can see better how tiny they are. If I just kept these in a bag, it's not going to grow and produce the mustard tree, right? I have to plant it. I have to be practical. I have to be intentional with it. But God says here that the whole kingdom of heaven is like this. It can grow into something larger. One of the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree. Could you put that picture up? And then birds come and make its nest in their branches. They get shade from it, from the sun. That is huge. That started from this. That's awesome. That's really awesome. Praise God. So with the right conditions, when we plant our seed, it can produce something larger. What are the right conditions of our heart that we need for there to be growth when I plant the seed of the word? or the seed of practice, the seed of obedience, if you're talking about losing weight or building your prayer life or whatever. Build it, attach a word to it, and keep going with it, right? That's huge. I love it. I love that picture. So then he said about the mustard seed in Matthew 17, you don't have enough faith. I'm going to set this right here. Hopefully it won't roll away. Okay. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Don't you love when Jesus says this to you? You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. This is when they were trying to cast the demon out of the little boy. So Jesus said that. You don't have enough faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. So speaking to the mountain to tell it to move, right? And it could be as small as, can't pick it up. It's hard if you have nails that are a little bit longer. If you have something this small, even that small, when you use your authority, right, you can grow it. You can grow, you can grow your faith, but then use that faith and tell it, the mountain that's hindering you, to move from here to there, and it will move. He says nothing is impossible. That's what our faith can do, but we got to start with the seed, right, and grow it. Grow the faith that we have. It's a process. Don't we love the process? Oh, who loves process? Praise the Lord. It's the process. If you're going to grow in the kingdom of God, you're going to do it just like the seed. Just like the seed in the ground. Because this is a principle all throughout the Word of God. Seed time and harvest. It's how he works. Yes, we love it when he comes and bam, and I just receive all of this. Or he takes the whatever, the addiction away from me. Or he just slaps me upside the head and I receive this amazing revelation. And I just walk in it all of a sudden, the fullness of it. Well, that's great. And that can happen. But a lot of times, who's with me? A lot of times, it's he wants to develop something in us. And when we walk out something, a process with him, we grow in relationship with him. Because sometimes if he would just bam us and we get everything all at once, we don't have the emotional or spiritual maturity to hold and hang on to and walk in with grace and with obedience and all the things that he wants us, that would be required of us if he gave us that big thing all at once. Right? And so he wants to develop characteristics of himself in us, and he does that by starting with something small, and it's humbling for us, and humility is good for us. Praise God. And so is learning patience, and so is learning obedience, and so is learning so many things, to hear his voice. And when there's struggle, you press in more, right? And it grows, and it grows, and he gives you a little bit more, a little bit more. A lot of times, we don't grow all at once. Think about a child, you know, just in natural, you know, a baby, the seed form that's planted, right? A baby grows in its mother's womb. And then, you know, when the child is born, step by step by step. Could you imagine if just full grown adults came out of, you know, were born? I mean, it's just like the moms in the room go, no, right? There's a process. So just like with the seed, back to the seed analogy, there's a process for a farmer when he puts the seed in the ground. When he's planting a mustard seed, he doesn't go out the next day and get discouraged and rip it all up because, oh, I don't have the mustard tree yet. The tree didn't develop. Yeah, no, the tree's going to be after some time, right? There's a process here. A little bit every day. Grow, that seed grows constantly, doesn't it? Consistently, 24 hours a day. I don't know what all it is in the soil that releases what's the power of what's in that seed, but it happens, right? And so, like I talked about before, we lack that consistency. We need to develop that for ourselves because we like go hard and strong, January 1st or just when we're trying to start a new thing, we study and we pray for a few days and then we quit. And then, you know, we fall off totally. So then we could also like realize that we're in a disaster when we have a crisis that, I got to like, you know, let's say you get a diagnosis from the doctor. And so you make a mad dash attempt to like get the word of God in you about healing and what he says about divine health and healing. And you pray and stand on the word. But if you had been doing that, you know, just every day, a little bit every day, then like we're not as strong as we could be if we're growing ourselves with the word of God every day, a little bit. And you could apply that to many things. Like crash courses don't work, right? Like anyone in the room in high school that would just, like procrastinate and then just like cram, all night cram session, that never worked for me. let's build some faithfulness in ourselves so we look like Jesus. We can't microwave our faith. A little bit. And you know what? I'm going to relate this to the discipleship pathway. Just like in serving God, we grow step by step. That's why I love this so much, because it's practical. We don't all of a sudden, you know, this is the discipleship pathway of being on the path of following Jesus. So there's, you start with being, I'm not going to go through all this, but just, you know, being convicted, having conviction. You don't start with leading, which is number 11. There's 14 of stages on here, right? Of following Jesus and like being on mission with Jesus here. And so, you know, sometimes people come and like, oh, I want to be in deliverance ministry. And how can I be in deliverance ministry? Or how can I get up front and have the mic? And it's like, okay, well, this is like, we show them now that we have, you know, have this, and we have the flow chart of like, start coming to cell group. And they're like, cell group? I want to cast out demons. Yeah, I heard you. But like, there's some things that you need to learn and grow and develop. Does that make sense? That makes sense, right? Because we don't just jump to something much further down in development, because that could be a disaster, right? And so there's so much that God wants to build in us through the process, one step at a time. And when you are faithful in that small thing and that small step, even if it's scrubbing the toilet, guess what? God's going to give you two toilets to do. And then he's going to give you a spa to clean. You know, just the idea of that he'll entrust more to you. You will graduate from the toilet, perhaps. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So keep pushing the plow that he has in front of you. Keep using that plunger brush, toilet brush, and do it as unto the Lord, that small thing. And he will see that you are faithful, and he will see that you're worshiping and not complaining. You know, you're singing praise to him while you're doing it. And you know what? You will get promoted. He will entrust more to you. But real strength and real growth come as you consistently and constantly keep the word right before you, what he's spoken to you to do. Because you need that word some days when the flesh really is tempted to give up or just to throw in the towel. But that you have that seed planted in you. No, he says that I'm doing this, and you declare your word in faith. This is what he told me to do, and I'm doing it. I love that through the process, he works in us the spirit of faithfulness, because we're very fickle and we go up and down sometimes. But Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't go up and down with what he thinks or what he feels. Jesus, the Lord, is the best model that we have. He's constant, and if you press into him, he can cause you to be that way also. There's a little story, a little story in the Faith to Faith devotional that Gloria Copeland tells, that years ago she was asking God to teach her to walk in the Spirit, like how to walk in the Spirit and to operate more fully in the supernatural power of God. And what God spoke to her was, quote, "Inconsistency lies the power." She is wanting to grow and know how to walk in the Spirit, operate more fully in the, you know, supernatural gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Inconsistency lies the power." Like, practice, do it over and over. Consistency. Within, I'll say within, so it doesn't sound like inconsistency. So within consistency, or with having consistency in your life, practicing, doing it, being consistent, there lies the power. There's something greater will be born and birth. Consistency should mark us, right? We have the fruits of the Spirit. We are following the faithful one. So we have faithfulness inside of us. It might be seed form. We got to work it. Work it, church. Work it. Work the faithfulness. Show up again to cell group. Show up again the next week. You don't feel like it? Show up again. I have a headache? Go show up. Have them pray for you. Praise the Lord, right? We have patience. I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit and what fruits of the Spirit are involved in us, you know, in this whole topic of being consistent and constant and not underestimating the day of small beginnings. And I thought of these three. Maybe there's more that could apply. The fruits of the Spirit of patience, like patiently pushing your plow, doing what he says to do. You might feel like it's not glamorous, it's not fun, it's not about you having fun. It's about you honoring God and obeying him and doing what he says to do. So patience, right? Faithfulness, showing up and doing it over again. He's the faithful one. He is so faithful. He's the best model we have. And also self-control, because we've got to use some self-control here to go against the flesh, to obey and to do what he has told us to do, even if it seems not so glamorous or it doesn't seem so significant. So start small with where you are. Here's the real practical part, okay? Start with where you are. Think about something in your life that you want to grow in and that you want to do better, or something that God has spoken to you. And think about this quote. There is only one way to eat an elephant. A man named Desmond Tutu said this. There is only one way to eat an elephant. Anybody know? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So think about that one thing that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about, or that you've tried and you fall off and, so you make up your mind today to begin in that thing, working on that thing, in that daily process of constant growth. And you make that decision today. And you ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you don't start today, because you have to pray into it a little bit and get from the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it, and that takes a few weeks to do, praise the Lord. You're going to be more successful if it's God's voice speaking to you and giving you an action plan rather than you just coming up with something that's, you know, maybe like we talked about setting the bar too high, and then you fall off because you're not able to do that. So spend some time with the Holy Spirit and ask him, what's your action plan? How can I grow this area of my life? I'm going to start, and I'm going to start when you tell me to start. I'm going to start when I'm ready, when I have the plan. But I want to hear your voice. Pastor Harley talked about hearing his voice. And I want you to breathe life into it, because we will be so much more successful, because he knows what's hindered us before and how to get us to advance, to have success in this area. So listen to his voice, consult him, spend time praying in the Spirit over this thing, right? And then create an action plan. What are you going to do? Something practical. Like, what does it look like? Get scripture to apply to it. It's the seed of the word. It will not return empty or void. Get a scripture. Ask the Lord. Show me a tool from your word that can help me, that can empower me, so that on the tough days when you're on the treadmill, you're like, got to say your verse. You got to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. When you're wanting to go to the chocolate, and I'm using this example of like losing weight and getting healthy, right? But, you know, somebody says, you go show up to work and they have donuts and you're like, I can do all things in Christ. No, thank you. I'm not going to have a donut. I'm going to go eat my carrot sticks and celery. Praise the Lord. And my ice cube. My ice cube suckers. Praise the Lord. But the point is, that word will be strength to you. It's the sword of the Spirit. So take it, get it, grow it. And then just do it. Nike had something going on when they said, just do it. Then you just do it. You do the action plan again and again and again. And you keep doing it. You be consistent in what he's spoken you to do. And if you fall off and you mess up, get back up and do it all. Isn't that a song? Dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and do it all over again. I probably butchered that song, but don't beat yourself up. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Get up and start doing it again. It's okay. And when you are consistent, you begin to create a habit. You create a habit. Remember, in consistency lies the power. Be faithful day in and day out. Wow, I'm looking like Jesus. I'm faithful. I'm doing it. Even if it's your 5 minutes of whatever it is you're trying to create a new habit with. Praise the Lord. You take small baby steps toward God and developing new godly disciplines. I would say just one discipline. Start with one thing, one area. And you know, I think this is really, I had this revelation about this, that this principle of anything that you are working toward, we're talking about it in the positive sense, like doing something good. And you take a baby step, another baby step toward that thing. I realized, I had this revelation, that the same goes for in the negative. Like when we're talking about like sin, for example, you know, like here's an example. A marriage doesn't crumble overnight, right? It takes baby steps away from anything. Like it's not this huge like destruction all at once about anything negative. When we go to sin, we take a little step toward it, we practice that sin, and then it grows and we do a little bit more, and it's like a slow fade, right? And so just as we can do baby steps toward creating godly habits and disciplines in our lives, we can take little small baby steps away from God, away from godly principles, and that lead us to life of sin. And, you know, it happens the same way. Like a person doesn't usually just walk away from God overnight. It's a thought that we let go, that we let go, that we let go. And then the thought conceives action, which is sin, right? And then practicing something that would be offensive to God. And then it's a slow fade. And then you find yourself, I am so far away from God. Right. It started with that one thing and just increased and increased and increased over time. So we get to choose. Are you taking baby steps toward God, toward godly principles, toward what this says? Or are we taking baby steps toward sin, toward darkness? We've been given a choice. Choose life. He's died to set us free. Choose life. Walk toward him. Because that one baby step can lead you eventually to abundance of life or abundance of death. We get to choose. So I was thinking about a testimony to share about something that, like something in my life that has been developed over time. And I thought about how in high school, I was drawn to Spanish, the Spanish language. I was always like drawn to cultures different cultures, specifically Latino cultures. I never knew why. I just was like, oh, okay, so I can choose to choose a language in middle school and high school, and I chose Spanish. And then I really began to enjoy like studying Spanish. I took the advanced classes throughout high school, and that grew. Like that love, even in college, I didn't study Spanish, but I kept it alive just with, I don't know, we went to Mexico a few times with my family, and my sister spoke a little bit and phrases and things, and it was just like always, always sort of a part of me. And I never imagined that I would live in South America and have to use Spanish. But like, I'm sure studying for tests in high school, you know, like that senior year of high school, I took advanced placement as a college level course. And, you know, I'm sure there were hard moments of it. I had a really tough teacher, really awesome teacher, but she was one that pushed you, man. She was strict and she was, but she had such a passion for what she did, for teaching the language and the culture. And she made it fun, but she was tough and she would push you. And she pushed me, you know, and the language, I mean, learning the language couldn't be an overwhelming thing, can be a tough thing. But I did it, and I had the love that I didn't realize that was a gift from the Lord and part of what he equipped me with for later things that now I'm walking in, you know. I never imagined that I would be become bilingual, like at that time and taking a high school class, like, oh, I'm going to become bilingual. I'm going to learn to interpret. And that was a whole process because at the same time, God was stripping me of fear and insecurity. And when I was in YWAM, they started saying, you're going to learn to translate. And I was just in a group and like they were saying something in Spanish, okay, like to give out the job duties of the day. And so, okay, translate this. But I got to be up in front of people. Well, it's just like in a group and standing in the field, you know, before we distribute to go do our jobs. But like, yeah, but I can't. Yeah, so it's like God breaking me of fear of public speaking and all these things. And, you know, they didn't put me into a whole classroom where somebody was teaching or like a whole Sunday message, go interpret a whole Sunday message. I started small, a little bit every day, you know, headaches at night, like, oh my gosh, I just need to find somebody to speak English with, like, please somebody speak English with me because my head's going to like explode because I just, blah, like, you know, I remember a few times, I'm not so much of a night owl, and I'm much more of a morning person, and at night sometimes my friends would look at me like I would say something to them thinking that I was speaking Spanish, but I wasn't. I was speaking, like, English was just coming out, like my mind was just saying, nope, done, we're done with Spanish, we're done, and they look at me, and one, the friends that didn't know English were like, I'm like, what? What? They're like, I don't understand you. You're, you know, you're not computing any. I'm not computing because, you know, it's just a process, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And it was little by little by little. And it grew into something much bigger and something from God that today I can see, wow, like he gave me all of that. He gave me that interest and that attraction to the culture and the language and by the grace of God, that drive to keep doing it, because we can agree with what he's trying to, how he's trying to lead us, or we can not agree, and we can go against what he's trying to do. But today, praise the Lord, I'm so thankful, and I've been sharing this a lot with our son lately, that we're doing Spanish at home. Praise God, it's so fun, because gosh, get them while they're young, you know, where their brains are like a sponge and can just absorb. And he repeats everything we say, and he says it really good. Like the pronunciation sounds really good. And just saying of like how awesome, how thankful I am, how valuable it is to me to be bilingual and to be able to be hearing somebody struggle in a medical clinic one time when you know, so a patient was trying to talk to the secretary and they couldn't make an appointment. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can help. Like, so I went over and just like, excuse me, would you like some help? Secretary was like so relieved. She was like sweating bullets, you know, like trying to schedule with this Spanish speaker. And the Spanish speaking lady, you know, I said to her in Spanish, can I help you? I speak Spanish. And she was like, yes, thank you. You know, it's just like small little things. You can be a bridge and you can be used in the way that he wants you to be used when you say yes to him each day when it seems hard and there's nobody there saying, oh, wow, thank you, you know, on the hard day when you're developing and you're growing. So this, I hope, is encouraging to you. Keep going with what God has spoken to you. And if you're not sure what he's spoken, we're gonna do a little thing in a second. So he cares about you starting. He sees and cares about your baby step forward. The Holy Spirit cheers you on with each step. Don't give up. Somebody's out there feeling discouraged, like I've tried to whatever, improve my prayer life and I just keep falling off. And he cheers you on. He's your biggest cheerleader. He's your biggest fan. Listen to him about how to be successful, because the success is in the relationship and what he builds in you in that process. Praise God. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Back to Zechariah 4, verse 10, right? Don't despise that day of small beginnings. Just begin, pick up the plow and go for it. Push it and push it again and push it again. Keep pushing. Be like a seed planted in the ground, growing a little bit constantly and consistently all the time. Remain in him and keep taking that one step. The day of big things is coming for you. It's coming for your family. It's coming for the our church. But we start today with the small thing. And we do it again tomorrow. And we repeat. Praise God. We devote ourselves to the next small step that's right in front of us today. And then we will see his plan unfold for the big. For our church, for our family, for your personal life. Praise the Lord. All right, so why don't we come, since we're such a small group, why don't we come up here? And we'll get some mustard seeds going here. So come on up to the front. And everyone's going to get a mustard seed. We're going to do this real practical, right? I learned how to be practical in YWAM. So you'll probably get a few. Yep, you got a few. Whoa, you got a lot. Okay, ask the Holy Spirit all those seeds. Oh, two powerful seeds. Whoa, can plant a whole garden with that. That can turn into a whole garden. Okay, praise the Lord. Whoops, it went down in there. Do you see it? You got to get it in your other hand. Want another one? Here, I got a few I can spare. I'm going to, whoa, okay, where are we? Okay. So as we're passing these out here, be asking the Holy Spirit. Oh, now you got a lot. Okay. Going to plant a garden. Ask the Holy Spirit, or maybe, oh no. Now let's not make Sister Rivka upset here. Keep it in your hand. Oh, you got one. Okay, I did it.
Good job.
Oh, two. Okay, one's for Janie. Praise the Lord. Okay, here's mine. All right, so think about that one thing. Oh, I guess there it is. I was trying to get the ones that are inside the Ziploc bag. That's not going to work. Okay, so you have this one seed. Maybe you already know what that is, if the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to you about that one thing, that one area of where you need to not despise the day of small beginnings and do that one thing. And so we're just going to pray in a moment, but I want you to imagine first, you can just close your eyes and just imagine that this seed.
If I close my eyes,
I'll fall over. Okay, it's okay. Don't fall over. It's okay. There's a chair behind you also. Praise the Lord. So imagine this seed is the one thing like the one step that he tells you today to do. So imagine what it looks like now, you know, not glorious, not super big, but that one thing. And then in faith, Aaliyah, if you could put that picture back up, in faith, you're going to look to this tree.
Yep.
And, you know, with looking at the tree, it's we keep an open mind to however you want to do it, God, however you're going to develop this, whatever it's going to turn into, whatever it's going to look like. And so, God, we just do. We plant our seeds, the seed of your word we plant in our heart. God, it may look insignificant today, this one step that you're speaking to us to do. And Father, for those that don't yet know, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten each heart and each mind with that one thing, that one area, that one step. What does it look like? How do I start? How do I begin? And Father, let us take the limits off our thinking. Let us not have that thinking that restricts us or hinders us, like, well, if this would look much better or bigger if God was really in it. No, that's a lie. And so, God, I just speak your truth. I speak the power of your voice. I speak your presence over us as we meditate on what it is that you would have us do, Father, that you would speak to each heart and life. What's that one step that you would have us do? And then, God, we look with faith at this picture and we say, thank you, God. We praise you. You're excited when we just begin. That's what the word said, that you rejoice when we just begin. But we can imagine by faith that doing this one step and planting the seed, it's going to turn. You're going to do it, God. You're going to do the work. We just show up. We dedicate ourselves to you, to being faithful to what you speak to us, and that you're going to turn it into something wonderful, something much bigger than how we're starting. And so we thank you, God. I pray blessings on each brother and sister, those here and those also watching on live stream or social media or watching back the replay. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you can take something so small and insignificant like a seed, and you can turn it into something marvelous. You can turn it into something big and better. And so we just praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, God, that you help us in the small, in the mundane, in the everyday, that you give us strength to do that and to do whatever it is, giving you glory and honor, looking to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's just pray in the spirit over this seed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the one step. For blessing the one step, God. You will grow it. It's your work. You will grow it. It's your work. Thank you, God, for blessing each heart and life. You bless the efforts, God. You see and you give strength. Not in and out, but faithful, constant, consistent. Thank you for big thinking, small thinking that leads to big thinking. Thank you, God. No limits, God. No limits. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for growing the seed in my sister's life. Thank you, God. Nothing will be impossible for you. He says, nothing will be impossible for you. Thank you, Jesus. Use your authority. I'm thinking of what we read about saying to, if you have faith as small as the mustard seed, say to this mountain, move from here to there, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's a verse for you. Thank you, God. So use that. Power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing his one step day in and day out. You bless it, God. Show him the action plan. Show him what to do, God. Thank you, Lord. I see your feet moving. You're already moving in this direction. Thank you, God, for blessing his efforts, for strengthening him, God, fortifying him, building him up in his most holy faith. Thank you, God, that it will grow into something much bigger than what he sees today with your blessing and your help. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See yourself the way I see you, he says. I want you to see yourself the way I see you. Let him paint a picture on the inside of your heart of how he sees you. Because just like we could say about, an action plan of doing something in our lives about like starting small. He's saying to you, don't despise the day of small beginnings with yourself. Like just your person and how you think about yourself. He thinks of you differently than you think of yourself. Right. So ask him to show you, there we go, who you are to him and how he sees you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Bless her, God. Yes. Bless her, God, as she hears your voice and that she gets that new image of her, that she doesn't despise the day of small beginnings of herself developing into the person, the woman that you've created her to be, this woman of God, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, walking in your plan, in your power, in your vision. Bless her, God, as she does that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessing these seeds. I link my faith with Pastor Harley's faith. And we command these seeds to grow and multiply in Jesus' name. There's power in the seed. There's power in the seed. That's what I'm hearing. There's power in the seed. We plant, we plant, we plant, and we watch it grow. You do the growing. Thank you, God. We do the walking it out faithfully. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shiakarana, hiakaratata, hiakabariatata. Shu koruntu tututu de cabariatata, cabariatata. Shiakabariatata, cabariatata. Shiakabarotata, cabariata. Green thumb. Maybe in the natural, not as much, but shiakabaratata, hiakabariatata. That's what I'm hearing. I'm laughing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Green thumb, because she's planted, and she's planted, and she continues to plant. Thank you, God, for that plant. That planting in the soil of her heart, God, and in others. Thank you, God, that she keeps investing. You make it grow what she has planted. Thank you, Jesus. Grow into a mighty harvest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What was once considered a desert wasteland is turning into the Garden of Eden. There's a verse that I'll find for you later that's in the Old Testament that I'm thinking of that talks about he turns the ruins and the, I think it's the desert wastelands into the Garden of Eden. And it's in process and it's happening. And you look back already and it looks so much different than how it started, like the desert wasteland, like a site of a natural disaster. That's how it started. That's how it looked. And now it looks beautiful. And turn around and look at that, because one day it's going to look even more glorious and beautiful than it looks right now. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for each one on social media, for their seeds of faith that they plant with hope and faith and practical action and intentionality in their hearts. Bless their efforts, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Cover them in the precious blood of Jesus as they stay faithful and develop that fruit of faithfulness in their lives. that constancy and consistency in Jesus' name. All hindrances to that, go in Jesus' name. All hindrances, demonic influence, demonic hindrance, go in Jesus' name. Over all of us. They have to leave. It has to go in Jesus' name. Because we will be successful in the Lord. We will have victory because it comes from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shiakarana, I break all cult, witchcraft, satanic assignment against our lives, against God's destiny and plan, against God's calling for us, and against us walking out baby steps. There is fruit in Jesus and fruit that remains. There is victory in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that today we start our small baby step and you turn it into something awesome, glorious. We give you glory and honor and praise. And all the people rejoiced. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.